Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's not enough to say the words. It's time to do the work. That's the message from gun control advocates in a letter today to President Biden. They're urging him to take executive action and work with Congress to reduce gun violence. This comes as the nation continues to grieve two mass shootings within a week in Atlanta and Boulder. Biden has called for renewing a federal assault weapons ban and for more rigorous background checks. But getting those measures through Congress would be difficult, even though a majority of Americans now favor universal background checks. That includes our next guest, Paul Kemp, who is also a gun owner. He's co-founder of Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership. He started the group after his brother-in-law, Steve Forsyth, was killed by a gunman at a mall in Clackamas County, Oregon, in 2012. Paul, welcome to Here and Now, and I'm so sorry for your family's loss. I know the pain doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't. Kind of gets renewed with each shooting, but thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. You say that you have owned guns for most of your own life, and you don't want all gun owners to be demonized for the actions of a few. But considering that your brother-in-law, Steve, was killed by a gunman who used a similar style gun to the AR-15, I wonder why your group does not support banning them.
Well, there's so many of them in the marketplace at this point, and private ownership. You know, I'm not sure what the right mechanism is, but our position has been, you know, in 1934, they passed the National Firearms Act, and that one governs silencers and machine guns and other high-powered rifles that the government didn't want the general public to have. And it's withstood every court challenge. It works. So that's one avenue, is to make those weapons fall under the regulations and rules of the NFA of 1934. We also had a 10-year ban from 1994 to 2004. And that worked, and it made a significant dent in shootings that involved assault-style weapons. So, you know, we have two areas to look at, and we both know we have a law that works, and it's not enacting a new law. It's a law that works and has been on the books.
But I want to talk about safe gun ownership, because I know that's a focus of your group. And I know that you started by wanting to address this mishmash of laws across the country. You felt like some groups were too far right or too far left. So you've really been pushing for safe gun storage to keep guns out of the hands of people with violent inclinations. So what would you like to see on that front?
Well, I mean, yeah, one of the factors in the way the shooter that killed my brother-in-law, Steve, got the weapon was the gun owner was a friend of his, and all his weapons were fully loaded and unsecured. And the shooter knew this. It was a premeditated. He went and bought ammunition and additional high-capacity magazines to use in that Stag 15. So there's a case where, you know, the gunman knew the weapons were unsecured and were easy to get. There was no break-in. You know, you look on the NRA's website, every firearms manufacturer's website, they all tell you to store your weapons locked up and unloaded. The literature you get with a new firearm says the same thing. So nobody's asking anybody to do anything that is not already recommended by the industry and experts in the industry. So we're just reinforcing that, because I think too many people, a small segment, are careless with their weapons.
Well, if you're worried about irresponsible ownership, then I wonder what you make of these figures. We did see a big rise in gun sales during the pandemic. 20 million firearms sold legally in 2020, a big jump over about 12 million in 2019. And the industry estimates 40% of the people who bought guns last year were first-time buyers. So they may be more inexperienced handling their firearms. And we know the pandemic reduced opportunities for them to take safety classes. Does that worry you?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just bringing a firearm into your home, regardless of how skilled you are at the handling of that firearm, you have increased the risk of injury and death to everybody else in that home, period. I mean, that's a risk I take. I'm willing to take it.
Sure. I mean, there's a trade-off that everybody has to make there. But I guess what I'm wondering is whether, if we focus just on the responsible gun ownership, if we're only getting it one piece of the puzzle, because we have seen over time a statistical correlation between more guns and more gun violence, which I suppose is logical. So should part of the effort, in your view, just include reducing the sheer number of guns in this country, which now outnumber the number of people?
Well, I think part of the reason for the increase in firearm ownership is the way firearms are marketed today as a self-protection, and you need this to keep your family safe. I personally have never subscribed to that theory. I think it's not worth it. So I think that's just a fear tactic that's used to sell firearms.
Bottom line then, are there just too many guns in this country?
Well, it would seem like it. Like I said, we have more firearms than we have people in this country, especially with the surge in the last year. So I don't think a background check is a big price to pay. I've passed every one of mine. They take minutes. So not a big deal.
Paul Kemp is co-founder of the group Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you.